Doug Fullerton's our guest. He's the Big Sky Conference Commissioner on Sports Radio, The Ticket with Kays and Prater. So, Doug, if I hear you right, a two-year period is what it would take. So the Vandals would have to back away and know what they're doing, starting with the letter of intent for 2016, and then they could play in the 2016 season in the Sun Belt Conference, because that's by agreement, and they're allowing them to do that if they don't get extended. And then in 2017, they could lower their initials, and for the 2017 season, theoretically, go seamlessly from the Sun Belt to the Big Sky and meet the qualifications of scholarships, theoretically, and coaches, correct?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to put words in the University of Idaho's mouth. I get in trouble every time I do that, and you know, this is a decision they're going to have to make, and I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a decision the Sun Belt's going to make. You are really zeroing in on one of the other issues that I don't think people realize, and that is there's going to be a vote in January to run a championship game with only 10 members.
Right.
Actually, that's being pushed by the Big 12, but, you know, it's something I'm sure the Sun Belt is watching as well, and that could be, unfortunately, a final straw. But who knows? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. But your scenario is perfectly plausible, even to the point that, you know, if Idaho comes to us and says, you know, we would like to move in as fast as possible, even though they do not qualify for our postseason, we would work them into our schedules either as non-conference participants or just as quickly as we can, or non-counting conference participants. So I think we could, you know, we could probably even make it happen almost immediately, depending on what their situation is, and given how many, you know, openings are out there with our institutions that we could help fill a schedule for them.
Doug, as it relates to the more long-term of moving schools from FCS to FBS, unless I misunderstand something, the college football playoff money that's kicked out to the group of five is shared amongst them in some kind of complicated BCS-type formula based on performance, who gets what. Wouldn't somebody in the group of five have to agree to allow a sixth FBS conference to share in that? And if so, who is that?
Well, it's even more complicated than that. There is code language in the NCAA manual that says the only way you can get to FBS is to be invited to an FBS conference or to a conference that was ever FBS. Now, don't try to have me interpret what that last sentence means, but that is in the book. You know, would we buy the Big West name for a year or the WAC name?
Well, the WAC, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? And I actually tried to do that merger when the WAC first went out, but I really didn't have schools that were interested in moving up, and the fascinating thing was they were still qualified for the share formula. Now we've lost that opportunity because the 2 years has elapsed. I would guess that two things are going to happen, would have to happen. I'm going to have to some way get past the code language. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that is as tricky as it would seem on the surface. No one wants to try to defend language that says you can't, you know, reach for FBS and we're going to keep you out. You know what that sounds like. It sounds...
Collusion.
Yeah, it sounds like something that you really wouldn't want to try to defend. So I think that that's something that I could probably deal with. The second part of it is that money issue, and again, you're right on target. That is a decision. I don't believe... There's two ways I could do it. I could go to the big guys, who I know every one of them, but I'm... They're pretty tight, even though they have an awful lot of money, and say, hey, how about another $10 million in the pot because I'm going to come up? And therefore, it doesn't hurt anybody in the second five, and they're amenable to it. Or I go to the second five and say, you go from $65 million divided by 5, which is 13, down to $65 million divided by 6, which takes it down $2 million. Is it worth it, depending upon the political capital I can bringing the type of institutions I would be bringing? That would be my pitch to those folks, that it's only a $2 million loss, and that really, and I'm going to help strengthen your level of play. So again, it depends a lot on what happens over the next 2 or 3 years and what happens as that next level unfolds. You know, how strong are they? What's the long-term satisfaction with that level? I mean, I talk to a lot of people, even in the Mountain West, who are saying, how in the world, you know, privately, and they probably won't ever say this publicly, but how in the world are we going to keep up? this is going to be a really struggle for us as the big guys begin to spend more and more money, because that's what they want to do. And it's a protection device to try to get more money to the student athletes so they're not being sued every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything from traveling parents on trips to traveling parents on recruiting to the cost of attendance and the things that have already come down the road. I think you're going to see more and more and more of that if that does, in fact, occur. You know, that's just going to be more and more difficult for people to keep up at that next level. Is there going to be some openings then to enter negotiations with them? I believe there will be, if that's the direction we choose to go. And I really want to make sure that I'm not getting out in front, because I might, again, I say I get in trouble every time I do this.
Sure.
I'm not offering anybody FBS right now. If someone were to come to us and from FBS and say, hey, we'd like to join you at your level and really make my program back to be as strong as it could be, we probably would really perk up and listen to that. We already have a relationship with Idaho. Idaho is dear to the hearts of so many people in the Big Sky Conference. I think that they would welcome that kind of conversation.
So, Doug, I guess last but not least, really, one of the issues that I remember you spoke to is really about relevancy and where the Power Five are going and where the rest of us, including Boise State and the Group of Five, and as you suggest, the upper reaches of FCS or even all of FCS, as we go down the road 5 years or so, aren't we all concerned that no TV people want to pay to broadcast our games? They'll say, just go on the internet and let them pay you one by one, because there's not enough for us to put them together and sell ads to, that the revenue streams could really start drying up?
I think that's a real possibility. You know, we've written a very unique contract with DirecTV. We're in 50 million homes with our games. So we're the anomaly in FCS, absolute anomaly. But it's already happened in basketball. Basketball television has become a throwaway for so many of the major carriers, unless you're in that top group. You are pointing right to what I think is going to be the driver of the next movement in college athletics. And you know, I go back to a real philosophical stance that I've always had. I mean, why do we have college athletics at all? I mean, we're the only people in the world that have it. Everybody else has club sports around the world.
Sure.
If your athletic program is not adding value to your brand, at your institution, there may be some people, quite frankly, that say, what in the world are we doing with it? You know, the University of Alabama, Birmingham dropped football. Now, they brought it back with a lot of pressure. But I think that was just kind of the canary in the coal mine there a little bit, saying there's going to be more and more people take a look at this and say, where are we going? This is all drying up. Isn't there something we could do that would make more sense and add value to the program and athletics at the university? That is the argument that I've used with my presidents to stay FCS. You know, when the WAC was disappearing, they came after our schools, as you would guess.
Mm-hmm.
The Montanas, who averaged 26,000 people at games. I mean,
wow.
We look very different than most FCS programs, and they came after us and said, you know, come on up. And my pitch to my presidents was, wait a minute. I think if we're careful here, we will be able to build a strong program in the West, not go broke doing it, and be able to represent our schools the way we want to, and then have the ability, if a new level begins to form and coalesce at something that makes more sense, we will have the opportunity to move that direction. And I think that is absolutely the strategic mindset of my president.
Doug, how close or how far are we from Power Five schools banning FCS games altogether?
Well, we're sitting in one conference, and that's all. You know, that's something we watch. The Big Ten has been the only conference that has said that. And what they're basically saying is that we now have a power ranking that we really have to pay attention to. I do believe that most conferences say, whether in SEC or Big 12 or ACC or Pac-12, those remaining four, they're basically saying to their top schools, be careful who you schedule. if you're an upper division program, but those other bottom schools are saying, hey, we need some wins, and you can count one of the FCS people for a win.
Sure.
But that's going to affect that, you know, the Mountain West type school as well. If they start really paying attention to the power rankings. But I've always felt that there's people in that bottom division that need wins somewhere. and so they're going to go try to get them. So I don't spend a lot of time worrying about them. Although that is a real, you know, really we're the ones that control that power. Can you imagine if FCS and the second five of FBS said, okay, we're not playing you?
Yeah.
And they had to play each other?
Yeah, so much.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what happens to Kansas football, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this will be interesting to see where this all goes, and I know the clock is ticking at the Sun Belt Conference with their vote at the NCAA level in January. The Sun Belt convenes in the fall. It takes a two-year transition to get there. I think we're at a point where somebody's going to have to make a decision. It'll be interesting to see where everybody goes with this, Doug. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking with you, and you get it. I mean, the things that you're talking about are exactly the landscape that we're watching as well.
Thank you very much, Doug.
No problem. Thank you very much. I enjoy it.